Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, if you still have them with you, to the chapter that we heard read to us, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 16 through 20, the last few verses of this chapter. And as you are turning there, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been asked to do something that you have no business doing? You have no knowledge how to do it. You've never done that before. And you feel completely and utterly useless as you think about doing the task that is laid out before you. A friend of mine, a couple of years ago, young man, his car wouldn't start. And he needed to get to work, and I was over visiting his parents. And he said, "Greg, can you come help me with my car?" Now, what you need to know about me is I have no idea about how cars work. I know how to drive them, but when you open the hood, I'm lost. I'm clueless. I've never had any training. I know where the petrol goes in the back because there's a little light on the dash that tells me it's over here on this side. So I know how to, that's about the extent of my knowledge. And so when he says, "Can you come help me?" I felt this urgency about it because he needed to get to work and he had been work a lot. I didn't want him to lose his job. So I went out and I look under the hood and I'm like, "Yep, it's not starting. I'm here to help." Have you ever been asked to do something that you have no idea how to do? Maybe you feel that way when you hear a great presentation about missions. Maybe you think, "I have no idea. God can't be calling me to missions because I have no idea how to do it. I'm inadequate. I'm ill-prepared. I've got all these excuses." And yet we come to a passage like this where Jesus commands us, instructs us, calls us, every single one of us, to a life of missions. I want to define, before we look very briefly at three questions, I want to define two things this morning. First is the word gospel that I'm going to use, hopefully quite a bit, and the second is missions. By gospel, we simply mean this, that you and I are sinners. Every single one of us on this planet is a sinner. We are separated because of our sin from God. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place. Jesus lived a perfect life, the life that we were supposed to live, but we can't because we're sinners. Jesus lived that perfect life, and yet he died the death and took the punishment that we deserved. And he rose from the dead. And he conquered death and sin. And the gospel, simply defined as good news, it's the news that you can be brought back into a right relationship with God through what Jesus has done, through believing in his life, death, and resurrection by faith. That's the gospel. And missions is simply this, telling people that good news. That's what I mean when I say missions. And that's going to have, as we look at this passage, you'll see that's going to have some components to us of what Jesus has called us to. So now I want to answer three questions this morning: who, where, and what. And as we think about missions, as we think about this great commission that Jesus gives, who does Jesus call to that task? Well, if you go back to the passage in verse 16, we see this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Who do we see Jesus giving this command to? It's 11 disciples. It's 11 people who have been following, 11 men who have been following Jesus for 3 years. There was actually another one who betrayed Jesus and took his own life. Now there's 11 left, and Jesus goes to them, even though these guys, they abandoned Jesus. And the night before Jesus died, he has this meal with them and they sit there. And then he invites some of them to go out to this garden to pray. And they go, and what do? They fall asleep. And then Peter's like, no, 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 Jesus. No one's going to kill you. I will stand in the way. And Jesus looks at Peter and goes, you know what? You're going to deny me three times. And Peter, what? There's no way. And yet Peter denies Jesus three times that very night. And Jesus is hanging on the cross and the disciples abandon him. They're hiding out in this room on the upper floor of a house with a locked door because they're afraid that Jesus's fate is going to be their fate very, very soon. Those are the ones that Jesus says this great commission to. Jesus comes to them in all of their shortcomings and all of their failings. And if that wasn't enough, what strikes me so much about this passage in verse 17, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The word that's translated some actually can be translated some or many. The idea that they're trying to get across is that it was more than one or two. It was a bunch of them. Worshiping doubters. It's amazing to me that there they are sitting in front of the resurrected Jesus, bowed down at his feet, worshiping him. In that moment, they're thinking, is this even real? But those are the very people that Jesus calls, people like you and me. He calls us, every single one of us, to missions. Jesus never called the perfect person. You don't see that in the scripture where he says, this person has it all together. They're going to be the missionary. In fact, he calls a little bit later on, he calls the Apostle Paul, who was called Saul at the time. What was he doing? He was killing followers of Jesus. And what did that guy end up doing but planting churches all over the known world and writing much of what we have as the New Testament? He wasn't perfect, but he came to believe in Jesus. And Jesus gives those who believe in him, who believe the gospel, the opportunity, the responsibility, the privilege to share the gospel, to be missionaries. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, a missionary is simply a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all we are as beggars. Beggars in need of the bread of life. And as Christians, we have been given that bread of life, and that is Jesus himself. And all we are called to do is to tell others who are looking, hoping, hurting in life for something to fill them, to say, I know where that is. It's in Jesus. Let me point you to him. So that's the who. It's all of us. Where? Where are we called to missions? Look at verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Therefore, go. That word go actually can, in Jeremy and I were talking just briefly about this week, and I've done a lot of study on this particular word. And you can find really good, smart theologians through the centuries that will translate this word differently. One way it can be translated from Greek that we originally have the Bible in to English is as you are going, meaning as you just go about life, as you go to the Tesco, as you go to Aldi, as you go to Asda, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to football, as you go, make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. It's right where you are. There's another way that it can be translated. Go, meaning go. Go on a ship to Guatemala. Go to a refugee camp in Bosnia. Go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. And we see, and amazingly, how that it works itself out even in the book of Acts. As the disciples begin to go about, the gospel begins to reach the nations. And he calls some of us, and I think this is part of the brilliance of how a word can be translated in two different ways, and they're both valid. He calls some of us to go, meaning go out into our communities. Go to every place in Dunfermline. Go to everywhere in Dalgety Bay. Go to everywhere in Town Hill. Go everywhere with the gospel of Jesus. Because we're missionaries, every single one of us that believe in Jesus, we're missionaries right here in our own city. And yet he calls others of us to go. I wasn't sure what you were going to say this morning, but this is fantastic because there's pamphlets and stuff right over here that maybe the Lord has gifted you to go. We would hate to lose you, but we want you to go because that's what the church is called to. So where do we go? Here and to the ends of the earth, to the nations. Just for time's sake, let's answer this third question. What? We know the who, we know the where, but what are we supposed to do? Jesus says, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Make disciples. Share the gospel of Jesus with them through your words, through your life, through how you live, through what you're passionate about, that people see that something is different about you and they go, why are you different? Why are you so kind? Why are you so nice? Where do you, like, I'm hoping our neighbors will begin to ask us as we've moved in to our estate. I hope they ask us, where do you go every Sunday morning? What a great question. When people, they hear that they have an accent and they ask, why are you here? Are you here for work? And my wife and I, we were asked that yesterday. We were at a Defend Fife World War II reenactment, and the reenactors were fantastic. They were so nice and wonderful and welcoming. And he goes, and they're all wearing American World War II uniforms, which I thought was a little bit odd, but So I'm talking to them, and he comes up and he goes, why are you here, for work? I'm like, yes. What do I say now? What do you do? Yeah. But he just kind of left it there, and we're talking like, how do we respond to that? How do people respond when they hear that you're different, when you have different passions than the world has, that you have a passion for Jesus because Jesus loves you? It's for us to think about, to share the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize them so that they might be set apart, that there's a sign and a seal that they belong to Jesus. It's taking almost, in some ways, it's taking that next step of faith that I want to publicly be known as a follower of Christ. And it's not just getting folks into the kingdom. Just say, hey, you believe in Jesus now? That's great. I'm on to the next person. No. It's teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. It's to walk alongside of people in the struggle of faith, the struggle of living the Christian life. It's sharing our lives with one another. And when we get to the end of that, if you're anything like me, you go, I still am completely inadequate for that task. I can't do that. Listen to what Jesus says, some words that we've gone over. Then Jesus said to them, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying, I have control over all of this. Everything in heaven on earth, it's mine. And I am telling you, go and tell people about me. You heard last week a little bit about the house that we're renting. As you heard, it has a lovely two-car garage that's just a storage space. What I would really love, though, because I like to covet, it's one of my many sins, is we have a deck that's uncovered in the back. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of useless. It's a big deck. It's lovely. But what I really want is, a conservatory? The glass enclosed room? Because it's a south-facing deck. And I'm just picturing myself, because some of the people, some way from our house, they have a conservatory thing on the back. And I look at that and I'm like, they're sitting out there and the sun is shining in and it's warm and it's lovely and they have plants. And I just want to curl up with a book and read right there. But you know what? I can't build one. Because it's not my house. I don't have the authority to do that. I don't own it. I can't put up there what I want. And if I put up there what I want, it might not be what the owner wants. Jesus says, I have the authority, and I'm telling you, you 11, you church, go. I have the authority to tell you, go do that. In the way that I have gifted you. I thought the video was fantastic. The question, can you make a cup of tea? My family and I were probably the only ones that did not raise our hands, because we don't drink tea and we're still learning. We'll get there, I promise, we'll get there. But can you teach? Can you cook? Can you do maintenance on a ship? Can you do whatever it might be? God can use you. Can you go and talk to your neighbor and build a relationship with them? Jesus has given the authority that he has for us to do that. And he says in the last words of Matthew, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He doesn't leave us alone. He never will leave us by ourselves. My friend that I went and was trying to help get his car started, he sighed really loudly when he opened the engine. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Hold this wire, put it here. I'm going to crank this and do that. And then if it does this, like kick the front of it was an old car, kick the front of it. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm right here. You won't get electrocuted. Good to know. And it worked. And he was with me the whole time. And it gave me a little bit of confidence to where sometimes, you know, I went home and I told my wife, you know, sweetie, I'm a car guy. And she goes, no, you're not. My brakes need fixing. Ooh, I know where the brake shop is. But it gave me confidence because he was with me. Jesus says, I am with you. He's with me. He's with you if you're a follower of Jesus. And what great comfort, strength, walking out of that which we are comfortable in, that should give us because of who Jesus is and that he is always with us. And if you don't know him yet, that is a truth that you can find incredibly comforting. Maybe you feel alone in the world. It can be a lonely place. Jesus says, come to me and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. If you don't know Jesus and you're here this morning, one, we're really glad you're here. We want you to know Jesus. And we know you've got a lot of questions. You can talk to me or to Jeremy or to anyone else, maybe a friend that brought you. If you do know Jesus, go. Where is it that he has called you to go to serve him in missions? Let's pray.